Welcome to Season with Salt. This is episode 5. I am excited to have two of my wonderful friends, LaPria and Whitney Ginevra. And today we are going to be discussing throughout this episode what it's like to date in your 30s. And I think it's appropriate for us to first start off by saying that we are three saved and sanctified Holy Ghost filled Pentecostal people. So if you are looking for like a podcast that talks about dating in your 30s that's like more on the secular side, this will be rather secular because we are human beings, but we won't be talking about like this intense like, oh my God, I slept with him and then I don't know what happened, he didn't call me back. Like, it's probably not going to be any of that. But there will be some realness, right? So I'm going to start off by confessing, and you all are welcome to do so if you would like. You do not have to. I do not know the answer. I'm going to confess that it wasn't until I was 35 years old that I decided to get on a dating app. And the way that it happened was that I was out with some colleagues to lunch, and the male colleague who was new to campus was dating someone. I think they're now engaged. And then there were two other, a female who was also dating someone, and then a married person. The two single people who were dating both said, oh yeah, I'm on Bumble, you should get on Bumble. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try it for 1 week. Needless to say, I am still on Bumble. I have never actually met anybody in person, but I've come pretty close. And so if you, both of you, and we'll start with you, Whitney, if you have had any experience with a dating app, would you just talk generally about your experience and what that's like for you?
Yeah, so I actually have been on a dating app before. I've actually tried several dating apps, ones that are free. I've tried the ones that you got to pay for, but I only do that for maybe like a month or two because it gets really expensive. I think I started because like some of my girlfriends were on it too. Like it was like all of us were just like, oh, let's all get on, let's all just try it out. And I won't say that I've had bad experiences, but I just clearly haven't had anything that's long lasting. I mean, I know people that have had really bad experiences, like get kidnapped, things like that, but thankfully for myself, I haven't experienced.
Got you. What about you, LaPria?
So I have a similar experience to Whitney, where I have been on dating apps multiple. I also have done some paid and some free. And you know, my experiences have been okay. I have met people in person. There was one particular person that I did date for a while from a dating app, but
okay. Okay, here we go. So okay. So I was saying earlier that I am recently acquainted with the app game. And I think you were saying, LaPria, that you actually dated somebody for a while off there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I did. I dated someone for a while from the dating app. We met on Plenty of Fish, and we met in person. He was a catfish, so that was nice.
That's cool.
and yeah, we actually ended up getting along, and we dated. He was in the military, he would be gone for a few months at a time, and he actually had like a small deployment mission as well. So even though we dated for almost a year, we didn't see each other, you know, like every week or something like that. It wasn't like that. But yeah, it was a good experience.
Okay. So in transitioning a couple of years ago at a particular church, I do know which one, but I'm not going to say. somebody had placed a, like, what's the, like, main dating app thing? Match.com. Somebody had placed, like, a Match.com or, like, a Christian Singles kind of deal, like, announcement, like, somewhere near, like, where people could pick up pamphlets. And there was, like, an announcement made, like, we don't do that here. Like,
what? So,
nope. So, the, so interestingly enough, like there is this stigma attached to like online dating. And I'm not really sure how like the older generation thinks that we are going to like meet new people, especially if we're not interested in dating people that are at our church. And I'm just wondering like how you all got over that and like how you think about it or how you explain it to people. Because I know initially for me, it was like, okay, I'm a preacher. I can't tell anybody that I'm like on a dating app. And then I wanted to make sure that I wasn't on like the tacky one. Like, you know, but... so, but like after a while, I was sort of like, hey, I'm on a dating app. Like, I mean, I'm not sinning on there. I'm not like meeting anybody and like having a one night stand. I'm just on a dating app. Like, how did you guys like, how did it feel okay to you? Or how did you have that conversation with yourself or others?
Well, I've become very used to keeping my relationship status or whatever very private, especially for my church. Like, they always try to ask me, like, are you dating? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. I just have always kind of been to myself. I think because I had been in a relationship before with someone that went to my church, and then we broke up, and then that was really hard, like, you know, explaining to everyone, like, oh, we broke up, yada, yada, yada. So after that, it was, I just became extremely private, and that's been like 10 years. So a lot of people don't know when I'm dating and when I'm not dating. Like, there is a running joke that, you know, one day I'm probably just going to show up somewhere. I'm just going to be married. So it really was, I didn't really have to worry about anyone else, at least, especially not in, you know, in my church family, finding out or knowing or divulging that information. I think it was easier for me because like I mentioned, I had a bunch of girlfriends that all of us were on the same dating site, and we all like were sending pictures of these guys that, you know, that were messaging us to each other. We're sending them the messages laughing like, oh my gosh, why would you say that? So I think that it became normal because my friends are doing.
I'm sorry, that happens?
Yeah, yes, that definitely happens.
Okay.
All this time. So be careful. Whatever you whatever you say, it's definitely being seen by at least three of her girlfriends.
Oh, yes. Please believe. Awesome.
Note to self.
I mean, I'm sure that you guys do some sharing as well, so it's not too out of the ordinary.
I like, look at this girl said on Bumble. Like, she said, like, how's your day? Like, I mean,
I think it's that basic, you know? Like,
so I'm only on Bumble, so like the weird thing is that like the woman has to talk first. And so like I've gotten some really odd, like, which, you know, if you had to count to six, like in another language, what would it be? Like, I don't know. Like, so, like, I think that, like, I don't know. Dudes probably don't do that. I'll tell you what we do, though. I'm sure there's a lot of, like, screenshotting and, like, picture sharing. And it gets intense. It's really difficult because I don't know if it's, like, a dating app thing. I don't know if there's, like, a website where y'all go to, like, figure out, like, what pictures to post. But it's like a lot of like girl trip, like in the vineyard, like with your dog or cat. Like,
very like, professional quality. Yes, I understand. Yeah.
There's always a wine bottle. When it's not a wine bottle, there's a dog. When there's not a dog, like there is a like girls trip, kind of like me and my girls, a lot of like wedding, like I was the bridesmaid. Like, it's like, okay, that's scary. it's like, I don't know who told you that wasn't a turnoff, but like nobody wants to see you in a really like off-white wedding dress, like on a dating app.
Well, that's probably because that's when they look their best, or they felt like they look their best, because, you know, like if you're in a wedding Trust me. Yeah, like I was in my I was in one of my girlfriend's weddings 2 years ago about and I her wedding wasn't until 4 o'clock. I was in the chair getting my makeup and hair done at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I looked real good. So I took tons of pictures. Because it was an all-day type of thing.
Okay. Wow. So, okay. Well, I can get that. I mean, I guess I would take a picture, like, when my hair is cut. But I'm not like, oh, my gosh, I better get my Bumble picture right now. Like,
well, maybe you should. Maybe you should be that strategic.
Right. No. That's the problem. You missed some perfect opportunities.
Right?
Okay. So, LaPria, like, I told you all, like, what annoys me about like asking like what I see. So that's the wine glass and the dog and the girl strip. On the other end, like what are dudes posting that you're like, yeah, that's the turn off?
Well, definitely one would be like flicking off the camera. Like if you have, it happens. Like if I, if I see a middle finger in a photo, it's like next, please. Like. I think also a picture where there's like 7 to 10 men that are in the picture and you're not even really sure which one it is that the profile belongs to. That's another turn off because I'm assuming that if you don't want me to know exactly which one you are, it's because you shouldn't be having a profile up here anyway. So, or not one that I should be entertaining as well. Anyway,
or even you don't want like you're hoping that you know the girl will think that it's another guy and she'll respond.
Yeah, and then basically that is kind of catfishing at that way too. You know, at that point as well. Like maybe you're not using someone else's photo. However, you're trying to be deceptive at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I wonder, do you ever like see that group picture and you're like, oh, you know, he might have a friend that looks better than him, like.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like we can all hang out, all of his friends,
right?
Bring your friends along. Let's go,
right? Now will I be the type to say, oh, could you actually introduce me to your friend? No, I won't be that shady. However, you know, if you put yourself, you know, in a photo with, if you put a photo with multiple people in the photo, you better make sure that you're the best looking one, or at least you in the top 2 or 3. Okay.
So why don't women do that then? Like why? Like why? Because a dude is definitely having that. Like, are you the cutest girl in your group? Kind of deal. Kind of conversation with himself when he's like banning through your photo. So like. And let me also add that one other pet peeve that I have, and maybe it's not a pet peeve, but it's almost like you got the dog picture, you got the wine picture, and usually there's like a workout picture. The one that like drives me nuts is like the I'm a San Francisco 49er fan picture. It's like overly like dressed in like sports regalia, like but for the wrong reason. Like look at me eat a hot dog at the Dodger game. And it's what am I supposed to infer from that? That we can watch sports together, or that you went to a game, or like that you're a fan? I mean, what is the who left?
I think that was Whitney now. Oh no.
Okay. That's actually a good break because I need to transfer to my car anyway.
Okay.
So I will bring you guys right back.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, talk to you soon.
I was like, what did I say?
So, are both of you in your 30s?
Yes.
Okay. So, like, what are, like, some absolute, like, non-negotiable, like, you're going to have this or you can have this type thing that you are looking for in a partner?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. So, I think, of course, you know, there's the basics where you have to be honest, be a person of integrity, be respectful, responsible, I think also too, you know, when you're dealing with someone in their 30s, maybe the person doesn't have to be totally successful at that point. However, they should show the aptitude for success. You should see traits as far as them being ambitious, a hard worker, dedicated. You know, do you have to be, you know, at the top of your game when I meet you? No. However, you should be striving towards something. So
does that mean that, like, if he's a rapper, like, you know, you hear him rap and you're like, probably not going to be Jay-Z or Nas or like, and you said they had to have an aptitude for success, but he's like, I'm getting ready to go to rap school. Is that going to work?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that qualifies.
Okay. So aptitude for success is like you are climbing the corporate ladder or the educational ladder, or you are growing in some capacity personally and professionally. Yes. Do you measure your own? You're the youngest, Whitney, so you get to answer this question. Do you measure your own professional success against the, how do you define this within the context of your own success? Like, for an example, like, if I'm looking for somebody with the aptitude for success as a 37-year-old dude, like, that's probably not going to be somebody in an entry-level position within my context. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's also probably not going to be somebody who is, like, 40 and, like, the administrative support coordinator at a state job and not planning on, like, getting a new job. Because in my mind, like, that's not, I mean, they're employed, but the aptitude for success is subjectively non-existent from my perspective. Mm-hmm. Do you think about that within the context of somebody else's success? Like, are you successful to the point where you could, like, be saying, you know, he needs to be the vice president of the company?
Yeah, no, I think that I have worked really hard to get myself to where I am in my career. On top of that, you know, I am actually in school pursuing a law degree, so I'll have my JD soon. But I don't expect for anyone to have the same ambition that I do. However, I'm not comfortable being with someone that is okay with just getting by, basically. I don't want to be with someone that, you know, got a good job when they were 18 and they stayed in that same job, in that same role for the duration of their career. I'm not okay with that. Mm-hmm. I'm a very ambitious and I'm a very driven person, and I think it's important to be with someone that has some level of ambition as well. Like, they can't just be totally just, I'm okay, like, easy eight, hit the gate, I'm done, you know, because I go to work and I come home and I'm still working. I'm working on things that have to do with my job, and I'm working on things that are my own personal goals. So I think it's really important to be with someone that has that same drive that I do. And I wouldn't be comfortable at this stage of my life being with someone that, what? I'm like, what? Did I hang up? Sorry. But I'm not comfortable with someone that doesn't have any type of drive. I can't be with someone that probably has a lower ranking position than I do at this. I also,
right, because inevitably, I mean, it's...
Oh, no, go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, you know, how does that... So, considering the fact that, like, you know, in spaces and time for, like, Black people, like, the narrative is always going to be different. So there have been periods in time where it was hard for a Black woman to, like, climb the corporate ladder. There have certainly been times where it was more difficult for a Black man to do so. Like, you know, there are going to be some people that like ambition is harder to come by, like if you, depending on like what your background is. And but that doesn't mean you're not a good dude. Like it just means that you don't, you might not be able to like you know, are successfully like climbing the ladder. I mean, if you have, if you've been to prison, like you're not, I mean, you might be a good dude.
Right,
but
he might be a good
there's certain dude, jobs that you won't even be able to get. Like, you're not going to be no straight worker. So. Hey, okay, so LaPrita, let me ask you, do you have kids?
Yes.
Okay.
You mean the boys that you be hanging out with every once in a while, your friends? Yes, I got
okay, good. I don't know. So I have a friend. You're going to give her some advice. Because I have a friend who actually doesn't really need any advice, but I just want to get your perspective on this. I was able to successfully... getting on the dating app, like a dating app, like somebody else did. I think she ended up getting on some paid ones or what have you. And one of the things that she was telling me is that now she has 5 kids. One of them is like really young. I mean, really young. Like, and like a couple months young, you know, like that. And she's probably going to be like really mad because she's going to be like, people are going to know. They know you. anyway, don't worry. I'm not saying anything. It's not who you think. If you think it's somebody, it probably is them. But I think it's not. But one of the things that she was saying is that like she would like connect with other parents, like single dads, and she would be really reluctant to say like, oh, I have kids. And she wouldn't, or she would not have a problem with saying that she had kids. But what would be hard for her is to say how many kids she had and how young the kids were. Mm-hmm. And so she's just saying that was like really difficult. And she's had experiences where like she liked somebody and then she talked to him for a while. And then they would be like, oh, how old are your kids? And then she would like run through the kid's age or like something like that. And or like they would be talking about parenting as a father. And then she started talking about parenting as a mother, and then they wouldn't talk to her anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, because, you know, maybe she was, like, giving off a red flag or something like that. Like, what is your advice to moms who are, like, interested in getting in back into the dating game, and they're like, I'm going to use an app, mm-hmm. or I'm going to just figure my way out in this dating game?
Mm-hmm. Well... I think that my advice would be, for one, don't feel the pressure to give more information than you're comfortable with at that time. If you decide in the beginning of talking to someone that you don't want to talk about the fact that you have kids, that's fine. If you want to talk about, if you don't mind, you know, talking about your kids, or if they just directly ask you, do you have kids? And you're not going to lie. You're going to say, yes, I do. You know, if they start wanting to know ages or things, you don't have to give that information if you're uncomfortable with that at the time. With me, I'm very private about that side of, you know, about my personal business, about my personal life. So some guys that I've talked to or that I've even dated, they don't know the ages of my sons. They don't know my son's name. They do not see pictures. They don't meet them, you know. You know, I think that sometimes guys might find it as a turnoff to find out that you're a mother. But those are not the type of men that you want in your life anyway. So they're actually doing you a favor about exposing that side of them. And then there's some men where they all of a sudden, you know, don't mind putting on a cape and try to act like stepdaddy. It's like, slow your roll, step back a little bit, you know, like I didn't say I need all of that. And so it's being cautious of those type of men as well. And so I think it's really creating boundaries about your personal life and acknowledging and respecting your own boundaries and only dealing with people that are dealing with men specifically that also respect those boundaries and respect your privacy, and understand that, you know, they're not going to have access to that element of your life until you're at a point where you can trust them and you're comfortable with sharing that information with them.
So, Whitney, from your perspective, like, what's it like to, like, figure out? Women are, like, either, and this, I know this, like, whether on the app or, like, in person, like, women are either, like, I'm a mommy, I got two kids, deal with it, or they're, like, I'm no kids, no ex-husbands, like, they want you to know that, and sometimes, like, I mean, I'm going to be honest, as I've approached 40, like... I got some questions about why you haven't, like, had a kid or an ex-husband. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm like, okay, but, like, you're really proud of that? Is it that because... is that because, like, you... I mean, what is the thing? Like, so from your perspective, like, what's your reaction when you find out, like, that a guy has, like, a kid under 15?
Under 15? It doesn't, 15 years, right? Not 15 months. I think that I've just grown accustomed to dating guys that have children. I rarely meet any men that don't have kids at this point. And this actually, thinking back even to like when I was 18, I remember there was a guy that I was dating. He was like 5 years older than me. And that was like the first guy that I dated that had a child. And then ever since then, you know, it's been a good number of men that, not that it's been a bunch of men, but the majority of men that I've dated have had children. And I think that it's just status, like, it's normal. Like, that's just what it's become, unfortunately. And I've just become, I guess, comfortable with it. However, the children aren't the issue. It might be the ex that's the issue. Mm-hmm.
Would you agree? And this is, I hope this is not getting too personal, but I don't know. Would you agree that, like, it's not so much the ex being the problem, it is the type of father that he is being a problem?
Like, what I've experienced.
But
I understand what you're saying. I, from my experience, it has not been that. That the man's parenting or his fathership is an issue, because for one, I don't want to date a dad that isn't there for his child. Mm-hmm. Because what does that mean if we were to get married and if we were to have children? What are you going to do to my child? You know, how are you going to treat our child? So mm-hmm. I have zero interest in a man that does not take care of his responsibilities. So that's why, like, at least in my situation, in my circumstances that I've been through, it's never really been about the man's kind of like behavior or his attitude towards his children or whether or not he steps up to the plate. It really is just because sometimes, you know, men get lonely and they find some interesting people to sleep with, mm-hmm. and have children with some interesting people. I'll just leave it at that. Without going into too many details, but
yeah, I mean, I think especially like in cultures mm-hmm. where people are not saved, like your judgment is so manipulated, like at times, that like if you're most of the time, it's so funny because like people are always like saying like, oh, it's not really hard to meet people, and it's like, well, yes, it really is, because like if you're like a full-time student or you're a full-time ministry and you're a full-time employee somewhere, like, I mean, you've got to pick between like who's in your class, who goes to your church, and you know, like, so it's like you're locked because your schedule is like so locked up. And I think that sometimes like people don't like it, one of my pet peeves is definitely like married people with like this idea that it just happens, and then you'll be like, oh yeah, well, how did you meet your spouse? Oh, you know, we knew each other for 6 months and then we just jumped right in. Like, right. Well, you're not a good example. Like, you don't, like,
when does that happen?
Like, it doesn't happen like that. And when it does, like, people are getting divorced like left and right because they're making those really rash decisions, like, you know. And I'm not talking about like married for 10 years and then getting divorced. I'm talking about like people are like, Yeah, it's been 3 months, and this is not going to work. How do you weigh that? How do you weigh somebody's capacity or potential to be, a long-term, partner, when you're dating them? Or do you know? Or do you think about it? Or are there red flags? Mm-hmm. Or what is it?
Well, I have to say that there was one guy that I dated for most of my 20s, on and off, for a good 7 years. And when I met him, I almost gave him the wrong number. So clearly, I'm not a good judge of character just off the bat, because I didn't think that it would go anywhere. And basically, the first time he called me, I remember I was 21, so I had him on speakerphone, laughing. I had my cousin and my god sister in the car with me, and we're laughing at him because he sounds ridiculous trying to ask me on a date. And I went on a date with him, and then we dated for 7 years. So it's really hard when you first meet someone to really determine whether or not this is going to be something long term. And I've had it go the other way, where I've met someone where I'm like, oh my gosh, he checks off all the boxes. He's amazing. He's caring. He texts back quick. He all these great things. He goes to church, or at least he has a relationship with God. I tried to justify that, even if he didn't go to church. And then 2 months later, then just one day, I don't hear from him any longer. So it's interesting. Life is interesting, as my dad would say. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to tell. It really does just take a little bit of time and investment in that person just to see what it's really about.
What do you think, Lupita?
I totally agree with what she's saying. Is that sometimes you decide to get to know people and you have absolutely no idea which way it's going to go. And sometimes your initial thoughts make you feel like it's going to lead somewhere, and it doesn't. And then other times it's the complete opposite, where you don't really think, you don't think too much about it. And then somehow you're dating for a substantial amount of time. So I think it's, I think that sometimes it's, trying to not create these huge expectations early on, and instead just kind of taking things for what they are, deciding this is a good person, and I want to get to know them better, and just leaving it as that, not I know that this is the one. I for sure know that this is the one. This my forever love right here. Hashtag forever boo and all this other kind of stuff, So I think especially with women, we need to calm down on some of that stuff sometimes, and take the appropriate amount of time to really get to know someone and allow things to kind of organically go where they go.
Yeah, and I just was thinking about that, because one thing I've seen with this among my female friends or cousins, especially when folks get in their 30s and 40s, is they're either ranting about there being no good men, or they're they get in a relationship and it's once they're waiting for it to be appropriate for them to be I'm changing my status on Facebook, which is definitely something that 30 and 40 year old folks should not be doing. But you see it a lot. It's my new man. And it's all of a sudden, it's no new man. We for a week, it's look at his hand. It's not his whole body. It's his hat. And then you just go, it just goes away. And I'm wondering, there is this deep chasm somewhere between being picky and being desperate. And I think everybody is sort of trying to swim against it. And either as you get older, you have more rules, or you lose rules. And my experience is sort of it's kind of being in your 20s, you are, when it's, you're going to go out to the club on a Friday night and it's 6 o'clock. And in your mind, you're I'm gonna have a good time, but I'm not I'm not gonna do this, I'm not gonna do that, I'm gonna come home afterwards. And then by 11 or 12 p.m., it's okay, I'm a little bit drunk, and this is, I just want to have fun. And I wonder if, people are, wrestling with that, and they like the idea of, being in a relationship or being in love or, finding the person more than they like the idea of, real, compatibility and, you know, this is, the most married people are this is not, it's not all mushy and sticky like people make it seem. You know, and how are your friends navigating that, in the social media age? Is it a lot of passive aggressiveness? Is it I hate men, but oh my God, I found a boyfriend, look at his hat. how are your friends navigating that?
Well, we don't have a lot of friends, so I have to deal with that a lot. I think that
conversations that go on between our group, we just have very candid conversations about, how we feel about a future or potential relationship. I think that sometimes, we get ooh, don't send me another announcement of anyone's engagement or anything like that. But then also, sometimes, for instance, we saw that Lexi, the gospel singer, that she recently got engaged. And I thought it was beautiful because I know that she lost her first husband, that he passed away. So, of course, I have this empathetic spirit. So I always just feel I start to feel people's pain, and I just feel so bad for her. And so I was really excited about that. But I think it's easier when you don't know the person personally, where you can be okay, yeah, I'm cheering for you. But then sometimes it's kind of when you know that, I'm living the best I know how. I'm just giving it to Jesus, and I'm patiently waiting for my Boaz, you know. It's
everybody is in Jesus.
Right.
Oh, the Lord, hallelujah. I'm going to Bible study on Friday.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's like, how have I been a faithful Sunday school teacher for 10 years, and then someone else just, walks up and gets everything that you wanted. So I totally understand why some people, they do get, like you said, passive aggressive or just straight up aggressive about what their life situation is compared to someone else's. And it's really easy to look at someone else's situation and just wish that it was yours because you know nothing about it. And just from the picture that they put on Facebook that looks so perfect, of course, yeah, we all want perfection. That's the whole goal of advertising, is to sell you on this idea that this could be your life. And so you're going to spend money so that, that this is your life. And then social media is just an emotional advertisement. It's an advertisement to your emotions. So then, yeah, I think people do get desperate because they're like, well, I want what that looks like. And I want to feel like what that feels like. But they're not really taking into consideration all that it would take to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right, too.
Sorry. Oh, no, I was going to say, I think that Winnie's right, too, where, there's an intentional piece behind it, that's done, the people that are actually posting it, they're posting it intentionally to kind of put their best foot forward, to look good, to show others or create this facade to others of how happy they are and things. But like Whitney said, you don't know at what cost that is. Like my mom always would say, a heap see, but only a few know. Right? So, everyone might see that photo of y'all smiling that one day, over on one of the piers at San Francisco or whatever. But what they don't see, are the arguments that you go through or the frustration that you have in a relationship. There's plenty of other elements that people aren't so willing to make visible to others. So it's, keeping that in mind.
So I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, and let me know if you have any questions. Hit me up. I might have to have the sisters back on to talk about relationships, but I think we got somewhere, and hopefully you some of the things that we discussed resonate with you. If not, like, let me know how you feel. You can hit me up on Facebook or any of the platforms and leave some notes. But definitely, I'm praying that you will subscribe to this podcast, that you will like it, you will share it, and let's continue the dialogue. So have a wonderful, wonderful week.